Hello and welcome to the Collapsing Game Shelf podcast, a podcast by a group of friends who have way too many board games. I'm here with
Justin,
Adam,
and maybe me, Debbie.
Through process of elimination.
Yeah, you've got your name
and?
Right.
And Tom, and we are here recording in Adam's basement instead of my basement to eliminate children running around, probably. No.
No, the puppy, man.
Oh, right.
I had to make sure the puppy was.
Yeah, because Debbie and Adam's puppy is not doing so great. Just had some surgery. But I'm sure he'll be better.
Yeah, he's actually doing really well. He's doing better than I thought he would be.
He got that cone on, though. It's so cute.
Yeah. 2 weeks,
pretty
then.
Cute cone.
Like a French bulldog with a cone.
That thing.
Gotta have 2 weeks of that cone. That cone's gotta suck.
It just ruins his peripherals.
Yeah.
I don't think his peripherals are that good to begin with. Poor little French bulldog.
He's got a blockhead. I mean, let's be realistic here.
Today we're going to discuss a game, little game we played last week called "Hey, that's my fish."
Hey,
hey!
You stole my line.
Oh no! "Hey, that's my fish" is a game published by Fantasy Flight Games. You can see that Adam's got himself a little notebook full of stuff over there.
That's so right.
Let him take over some of the overview here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this little game here?
It has a bit of a history, doesn't it?
Well, it was originally released in 2006 and then re-released in 2012. I am almost certain that we are playing the 2012 version.
Do you want me to check? I can just flip this bad boy over.
Yeah, do it. So do it. Right, nice. Components everywhere. Shit.
Got stuff everywhere.
What's the difference?
I don't know if I can actually tell. I think I flipped this over for nothing.
I'm pretty sure in 2012 is when Fantasy Flight picked it up as the publisher. I think it was actually done by somebody else.
Oh, if that's the case, then yeah, this is the...
I could be wrong.
Copyright 2011. Oh, I don't... Why are we... It's fine. I don't know.
It really doesn't matter.
Well, I'm curious if there's a difference.
Well, I think like when it went over to Fantasy Flight, it came in with that smaller box size. So this box is small. I would say it's
teeny.
4-inch square.
Yeah, I was going to say three.
3-inch square.
How many? 10 centimeter.
There we go.
Freedom units. My goodness, we can't.
No,
alienate
we have
any more
to.
Viewers.
If we're gonna get everybody changed over to metric, we got to use it.
Okay,
so all the time. I don't know how big it is though.
Fair enough. So it's about about 150 mil by about 150 mil.
Well, that's going a bit far. No one's going to understand that.
Volume is...
Yeah, no, it's...
Well, it's a square box. It's mostly square, so it'd be,
It's a cute
10
little...
by 10 by about
I think
five.
We're getting off track here, guys.
Yeah, it's the fact of the matter is that the box is small enough that it makes for easy travel, which I do happen to
that's
a big plus.
You're supposed to be giving us a background.
Well,
on
look,
the game.
I'm just
supposed to be overview.
I'm overviewing. So it's a lightweight area control style game where each player moves.
How many kilograms is this?
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to go with the
pun intended piece, weights and measures,
but I decided to leave it alone, and then Tom just did it for me.
It's anywhere from 2 to 4 players. You control anywhere from 2 to 4 penguins based on the number of players that you're playing with. Everybody starts on hexes. You randomize the board as you build it before every game. So you have all these hexes laid out. You flip them face up. You find yourself a starting spot. Each player kind of picks a starting spot. It must be on a single fish. We screwed that up the first time and thought you could just put them anywhere. Boy, were we mistaken.
I don't know that was a we.
I screwed that up the first time because I thought I knew better than the rules. But you have to start on a one fish hex. And then from there, you start taking turns moving one penguin in a straight line in any of the 6 directions off of the hex as far as you want. And you pick up the hex that you have left.
Not passing through other penguins.
You cannot pass through other penguins.
You can't change direction.
Correct. Has and to be in a straight line.
Straight line, yeah.
And you can't pass over a hex that's been removed.
Also correct. You can't jump the gap.
No.
This is not a Tony Hawk.
Your little penguins.
They cannot
not
jump.
Not jumpers.
No, not jumpers.
They
want to
stay on that ice. It's where the fish are.
That is where the fish are. So as you also then take that hex that you have left, leaving a gap. So what you end up doing is you keep moving your penguins around, trying to collect as many fish as possible. Everyone's taking turns with that, up until your penguin ends up on a hex with nowhere to go. And once there's nowhere for your poor little penguin to go, you remove him and that hex. At the end of the game, you total up the number of fish shown on the number of hexes you've claimed. The person with the most fish is the winner.
Succinct and to the point.
So good. So easy.
It is. I mean, I don't know if we even looked at the rule book.
Well,
we clearly the rule not because we fucked it up.
Yeah. No. And I very specifically asked if we should look at the rules. And
Adam laughed. We know how this goes. Yeah, this thing's easy.
Adam's like, Debbie, this is like the most simple game ever. Why would I need to look at the rules?
You'd have to be an idiot to screw this up. I think that's what he said.
I believe those words.
Sounds very similar.
Sounds exactly how that works. Yeah.
Roasted. Getting roasted.
But I will tell you that it did make a distinct difference when we started on the three fish versus the one fish. It made a huge difference.
It did. Putting a penguin anywhere versus has to be. On a single fish, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely made a difference.
The first game, we just surrounded Adam's initial fish.
And, my initial penguin, thank you.
Yes, your initial penguin. And we made him fall off the ice sheet immediately.
Like immediately, yeah.
We stranded him on the ice.
It was not great. I did not care for it.
As but he floated funny. Off into the sunset and would shoot a bunch of flaming arrows at him. give him a Viking funeral, yep. And then the penguins, they just jump in. They don't care.
No, they can swim.
They can swim.
I think the one thing that... Oh, we're not there yet. Are you still giving us a breakdown?
That's more or less it.
Weren't they, like, nominated
for
an award? Yeah, they were nominated.
Was that not part of what we were...
Oh, my mistake. Sorry. They were nominated for a Spiel des Jahres Award in 2006.
Oh, Jesus. Now we got to explain that?
Yeah, hey. Well, yes. And for those of you who don't know, Spiel des Jahres is kind of like the...
That is German.
The Oscar of...
Poor German.
Board
but
games?
It's German.
The German Oscar of board games?
Yeah, like the Spiel des Jahres is like, it's game of the year is what it is. And it's given out at Essen Spiel, which is in...
Essen?
Essen.
More German.
In Germany every year. And to be nominated for this, it really does mean that your game has really hit a high bar and that it is easily approachable by many people, but still has... An incredible quality to the board game.
It's a good sign. If you guys, just as a side note, if you guys are ever looking at games to purchase and you're not really sure, that's a safe bet. It's a safe place to look for.
It has the Spiel des Jahres. Yeah. It's usually on the front
there's
of the box.
There's a website. Yeah, it's usually and there's tagged. A website. You can go and check their website out, and they have all their historical stuff and all that on it. And that's a safe place to look.
They also tend to be the ones that are... Usually if you find them at like Target or whatever, they tend to be the games that you can find at Target tend to have that little symbol on them. So
yeah, they're kind of big box stores.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that like once they get that, their sales start to go through the roof. So they end up getting picked up by more and more distributors. So there's a good chance that if you run across something at the store or whatever, at a big box store, you might end up
and it's not called
that.
Monopoly or Risk or Sorry. No.
What's
a store,
out?
Tom? I get everything off Amazon.
It's kind of like Amazon, except there isn't some poor bastard at the end of a warehouse picking it off of a shelf for you before his 15-minute break that he has to spend 8 minutes going to the other side of the warehouse to go take a piss.
To stick it in some guy's van for it to get onto your doorstep 6 hours later.
Pretty
well.
Man,
pretty
is
well.
It fast.
The
Holy
wonders
shit.
Of one-day shipping. But we digress.
Support your local brick and mortars, guys. Like, so honestly, like in all seriousness, definitely do support your brick and mortar stores as much as you can.
Brought to you by a bunch of people who have bought nothing but stuff off of Kickstarter. But I guess that's more like direct. I don't know. I don't know which one's better.
It depends who you want to support, I guess.
Kickstarter is if you like playing your risk taker games.
Yeah, if you're you want to roll the dice and it's actually going to get fulfilled.
Well, and or if it's going to be frame? Any good.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, a lot of times you...
And perhaps unnecessarily high production values.
Right. I think that the whole Kickstarter board game conundrum is worth its own episode and not this one.
I think we've talked about that a few times now.
Exactly. We're going to come back around, and I really feel that Kickstarter kind of deserves its own episode.
It's almost become its own genre at this point.
It really has.
Oh, dear God. So Tom
so one thing
is
I
holding
wanna,
the coolest part of this game.
The best part of this game is these little fucking penguins. My God. They are so awesome. Because you got one, and he's like, he's just got one fish under his arm like he's a goddamn quarterback. He got one, and he's just like, I don't know, he kind of looks like he's drunk. I don't know what's up.
Yeah,
I don't know what his deal is. There's one that's just screaming because he has no fish. Yeah. These are amazing. And then there's one.
My boy
that has all the fish. And these are just some of the things you get to play with there.
They have some nice personality for being tiny little miniatures.
Yeah, I don't know if that came in from the Fantasy Flight thing. Is one of the things you can usually bank on from Fantasy
Generally,
Flight is the
yeah.
is the good like good nice things to play with. They got all the money to be able to make this kind of crap. So
they're very cute though. Like that is something that I don't think you see very often or not enough in my
penguins with napkins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In my world is the thought that goes into if we're going to have four little meeples for each person.
Peequels?
What's a meeple?
Oh, a little...
generally a little wooden like figure statuette that represents a worker or person generally.
Yeah, it's a meeple. So it's a people and
not like a sheeple.
Well, I mean, these are just figures. Usually the meeples are like more abstract.
Yeah,
and
like
wooden.
They're rounded and wood and stupid.
and they'll fall on your floor. And
you'll step on them. And it hurts. And... Oh, God, does that hurt?
Like Lego.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Meeple has got to be a combination of two words. I just can't think of what the two words would be. Miniature and people?
Probably.
Meeple? That sounds right.
I will look it up.
No. I want to live with the mystery.
Yeah. Nonetheless.
Don't destroy this.
Is that you get four little figurines for each person, and they're actually like either molded, but they're in different stances and they have very different personalities and they're quite amusing. Like they're really funny.
And they're all nice, bold primary colors.
Oh man, I am wrong about Meeple, by the way.
I guess except for maybe the green one, but the one thing that bothers me the most,
what really grinds my gears,
is board games that when they have multiple characters or multiple color selections, when they have two, they're just like super close, like a dark navy blue and purple. And from a glance or a poorly lit room, you can't tell what they are from a distance. With this, it's nice. It's blue, bright blue, bright yellow, just a nice bright red, and then a nice green. Won't work if you're colorblind, but otherwise, very distinctive.
This is because
I think that's something that like that really kind of plagues board gaming in general, though, is that it's not very colorblind friendly.
No.
There is a lot of red, a lot of green.
Yeah.
You know, though, red especially is a very common color to be used in board gaming. Now, as a quick aside, however, my source being, of course, Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia?
It is. So coined in November of 2000 by Alison Hansel during a game of Carcassonne, she fused the words my and people to describe the wooden figures used by each player that game. Hence coining the phrase meeple. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Great.
I was wrong.
The more you know.
Glad we got that figured out.
You missed Justin's hand gesture for the more you know. Quite amusing.
They saw it in their head.
Also, just to clarify, the 2006 version, when it did come out, it was released by Mayfair Games. And then in 2012, it was picked up by Fantasy Flight. That's where the difference comes.
Cool.
Excellent. We're probably padding a lot. There's not much going on with this little guy.
So this is...
It's a fun game.
It's a quick game.
It's a good game.
I will say Fantasy Flight. Fantasy Flight is one of those, one of the companies that Adam likes to do his
shits on a lot.
Rulebook Corner up on.
Because Fantasy Flight is
notorious. Rulebook Corner this motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's fine.
One page.
This is a good rulebook. Fantasy Flight is notorious for making some of the worst rulebooks in the hobby. The worst rulebooks to read, to navigate. It's like a choose your own adventure book trying to go through some They are getting better. I'm not saying they aren't.
So they might have some of the worst ones, but they might have some of the best ones now. Ooh. All right. We're going to go ahead and we're going to let Adam write up a rule book for Twilight Imperium that succinctly tells everybody what they're going to do. Go right ahead. I'll be waiting.
Wow. 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 Okay.
Use your communication course for that one.
Yeah. Fair enough.
No, and this is perfect. This is literally, it is a double-sided single sheet that gets folded into sixths.
Wow, we're really getting granular with this.
It folds into about 150 mil by about 150 mil square.
So literally it fits in the box. Okay, shut up.
I don't know. Is that legal or
A4? I don't fucking know.
What the hell?
The size of the paper.
That's A4, I think.
There we go.
What is, okay, wow. Can we hack that out, please?
8.5 by 11.
Okay.
A normal size of paper.
I'm bringing in all the metrics for this one.
Look, it's got your setup diagram. It tells you in bold what you're supposed to do. It's a good page.
It's a good size.
It's the kind of game that takes what, like 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it plays at about 10.
Yeah, you curse at your friends.
I do that regardless.
All in good fun.
They entirely screw you over.
Because they leave you to die on an ice floe.
And let me tell you, when we played this, I was the first person out.
The first time?
They were very mean to me. No, the second time.
Oh.
Adam was the first person out.
Oh, yeah.
I sure was the first person out the first time.
But it's like you feel really stupid. We were having a discussion right after we played this. We were all kind of laughing because it's such a simple game. It's so dumb, but we all enjoy it so much that it's like, it's easily one of those games that you pull out and you're just like, you know, like we have a short amount of time before something has to happen. We all just kind of want to screw around. It's super small. So you just, you know, you pack it with you whenever you go somewhere. Right. And it's quick and easy. Yeah, it's pretty hard to screw up.
Yeah. I mean, we managed, but yes,
and
it is.
Yet.
I mean, but we only screwed one thing up.
I think it's actually one of the few games that can play faster with more players.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You have the fewer players you have. If you're only playing a 2-player game, you'll have all 4 penguins on the board.
I believe
so. Of each of your color.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're playing with 4 players, you only have 2. So it kind of cuts down on the options and the amount of time you're sitting there thinking. So it has a nice, quick, brisk pace.
Yeah, but the number of I was going to say squares, those are definitely not
hexes.
Squares.
Hexes.
Hexes. The number of hexes does not scale based on your player number, so the size of your board doesn't change. That is potentially maybe something that could, you know.
I mean, technically you have full control over
the
game.
Yeah, you do.
You
That's
can just
true.
Take out.
It's not a, it, this game is also on Android and stuff.
What a
but,
great
but
game.
It's not a video game, so you can do whatever you want. You can just make up some shit.
Yeah, yeah. They're just hex tiles, so they just kind of give you the normal layout. But if you want to make a fish within a fish,
it's one of the nice things about
a
board
fish
games.
Within a fish.
With your hexes.
Oh.
What? Oh, I don't
think
we have
about
enough.
Like layout.
I don't think you have enough for that, but if you don't like the way the game is working, just change it.
Yeah.
Make something up. Maybe you come up with a better idea.
The app is super worth picking up. I think it's maybe $5 or $6. And it will give you, like, it comes with pass and play. If you want to play with your spouse or your friends or, you know, your children or anything like that, it you know, you can set it up and the game does all the heavy lifting for you. I think one of the only
heavy lifting.
Well, one of the only qualms that I can actually think of coming up with about this game is that there will be times where it takes you longer to set up the game than it does to play it.
Yeah, the initial setup is the only bother.
It's
ornery.
It is. It's just, I mean, it just becomes a pain, right? But it's fine. I think it's still, again, it maybe takes you a couple minutes to set up, maybe 10 minutes to play. It's a good filler game. It's super easy.
And plays well with all ages.
It does. It does play well with all ages.
Not 0 to 3. There's choking hazards.
Well, thank, right. Yes, says yes. Do thank not you, eat the father. The, penguins. The father. Not, the not father in our group has spoken.
This thing says 20 minutes.
I think that 20 minutes is a bit of a stretch. I mean, how like
I don't know
how
I
much analysis paralysis are you going to get into?
Maybe well with a 2-player game.
I guess because that
sure, 2-player game, sure.
2-player games, I think, get more cutthroat. I think is the way it
can get very cutthroat.
And I also think they would run longer
with more control over your dudes. You have a little bit more agency in what you're doing. You don't just have like 3 people come over and be like, "Sup, you're in a corner now, motherfucker."
Yeah, yeah.
Literally forcing you into
you
a corner.
You have been tossed off this iceberg.
You have been voted off the island.
I say good day.
But. The one thing, so when you get the, which is typical of apps and things like that, they do add little pieces in there that you can't have in the game. When we first started playing and Adam was talking about how much he liked this game, he was like, yeah, and the whales, they're great. What whales are you talking about?
The whales are only in the app.
There are no whales in this game.
Yeah, when you get stuck on your little ice floe and there's nowhere for you to go, a whale comes out from underneath you and comes up and eats you.
Oh my.
Yeah, trigger warning if
you've ever been eaten by a whale?
Well, or if you, you know, don't want to see a penguin eaten by a whale. I don't know. I, you know.
You were really traumatized about the story of Jonah?
You know, I'm, yeah.
What? Moby Dick? I don't know, but it was one of those things where Adam was talking about these stupid whales, and I was all excited because I was like, ooh, when are the whales going to come in? There's no whales.
There's no whales.
No, there's no whales.
We were sold a false bill of goods.
Man's a liar.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
But really, like in all honesty, fantastic game.
Yeah, it's a great filler. You can't really build a game night around it. Or, well, I mean, I suppose you could, but God, would that be a stretch.
You can still play. You can play many rounds of this in between turns of WoW.
Yeah, WoW, the board game. Yikes.
WoW, the board game.
Yikes. So if you ever feel like giving WoW, the board game a shot, just get a couple copies of Hey, That's My Fish, and you can all just play that while everybody else is taking their long-ass turns.
And disclaimer from Debbie, if after listening to our episode on WoW, you still want to play the game, buy a copy of Hey, That's My Fish. Bring it with you. You'll need it.
Yikes.
You might decide that you just don't want to play WoW anymore and play this instead.
Just want to play Hey, That's My Fish instead.
Well, but if they weren't turned off by our episode and they decided to do it anyhow?
I think they would probably be turned off by the price of WoW, the board game nowadays.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, like, first of all, if you can find it. Secondly, if you look at the price and don't have your jaw hit the floor in like complete surprise, be like, what? They want how much for what?
But we digress.
Isn't that our thing?
Does anybody have any other thoughts?
No, I mean,
what's
just to echo what Adam said, the only bad thing about it is setup. I mean, the only thing is, yeah, it's a simple game. It's not gonna, I mean, in terms of simple games, it's very, very good. Very fast. I think very accessible. One thing I do want to mention is like, or talk about, I guess, is like something that might come up more and more is that I find it's way easier to talk excitedly and recommend smaller games that take a shorter amount of time because they're not as like a much of a burden on people. Like games that are easier to teach and don't take 3 hours are way easier to say, this is a great game, you should get it, yeah. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's also not going to cost you $120 or something crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, so, the board game?
Well, that's probably $200 now.
I'd say so.
Yeah, so I don't know. I only mention it because I sort of thought about it the one time. I was like, man, we're probably going to be recommending a lot more smaller games just because they don't take forever, and it's easier for people to swallow. Because, I mean, if it turns out you don't like it, you've only wasted 20 minutes and, like, $15 or... I don't actually know how much it costs, but... Whereas, WoW, the board game is, like, 100 whatever, and it took 6 hours. That's a hard pill to swallow, you know? So I think that... I don't know. I just kind of wanted to mention to people that, you know, maybe if we give a recommendation for a game that takes a little bit longer, it's probably like way more exciting or has something that you're not going to get in a small game. I mean, there's not a lot to this. It's picking up fish and fucking over your friends. So it's a lot of fun.
Wrecked.
But it is simple and it's short, and that's to its benefit. But it does make it a lot easier to recommend than some of the other stuff we've played, yeah. For sure.
Well, I think also just like you said, with smaller games, like something like this, I would just keep. This would be something that if I was going over to someone's house, I would just bring.
You think it might be a boring party? You can just bring this.
Going over to someone's house to like play board games.
Right. We don't go to parties. I get you.
Yeah. We're not those kind of people.
Killer house party. How many board games you got?
Jeez. It's the one thing that I'll say, the downside to smaller games like this is if you lose a single component, you're not SOL because you just kind of eliminate a row, but
we're just change the map a bit.
Yeah. But do you see what I'm saying though? Like when you have one of these larger board games where there's God knows how many components to it.
Can have a little bit more excess.
Yeah, you lose one component by accident, and really, do you notice? Like, for example, today Tom found a component of Gloomhaven on our floor, and we didn't even realize it.
Oh my!
Right, like you don't see it, but if you were to lose a component of this game, it would be noticeable immediately when you played it, right? Because you'd go to lay stuff out, and you'd be like, "You're missing a hex." Right.
Now you're under the assumption you haven't just 3D printed all the hexes out from some Thingiverse thing that has come out there. Oh, man.
Looking at some of those the other day for custom board game pieces, and I'm like, ooh.
I know, right?
What would they be, like, hexes with, like, 3D fish coming out of them?
Yeah. And then you could have in the middle a little circle where you can put your penguin.
Exactly. Yeah, and have a little raised edge around the outside so it's not obvious when you lay them out.
I think that was probably the one complaint we had when we were playing this, is that it would be nice to have almost like a frame
A way to sort of put it together a little bit faster without having everything sliding everywhere. Yeah. And
again, it's a setup issue.
That could be a complaint for any board game where you have to build the map out of individual tiles.
Yeah.
Is they tend to get kind of loose and they start flopping around.
Yes, but I think it's very different when you're talking about a game where you literally like pick up a piece out of it, right? Like if it's like Catan, right? Where you're going and putting them all together and...
Poor Justin.
There's Justin having a freaking seizure in the corner.
It's just the Catan's played out, especially for us.
I think that's important. It's the component piece.
I'd play some Catan.
I think it's important for the listeners to know that, like, Catan is not a bad game.
No.
It has been played collectively over 1,000 times between the four of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way I don't really ever want to play Risk again.
Yeah. Well, but it's
one of those reasons why you don't want to play Risk.
It's whenever you're talking about a game where you need to take one component out of a pattern of them or like an array of them, right? And they're all kind of organized together. When you pull that one out, it kind of fudges everything up, and things start to slide around.
You're starting to approach OCD levels of map laying out here, though. It's kind of a casual game. I don't mind if everything
must be neat and tidy.
Moved around a little bit.
Right. I'm just saying that it would not be the worst thing in the world to have a little frame that would kind of, that you could just kind of lay everything out in. And so then it's, like Tom said, it's easy setup, right? You just kind of like drop everything in there.
Puzzle frame.
Yeah.
Just to fit everything in.
Yeah. And it's just like, you just drop it all in there and then, right, you kind of go from there.
But then the box would have to get bigger.
And probably too much.
Such a wee box.
Probably too much crap to print out for Hey, That's My Fish, honestly.
Well, yeah.
Well, and then for me, again, this is probably just an Adam problem, I guess.
Coming from the guy who's looking at Kickstarter as we speak.
Yeah, don't know what you're talking about.
Sweet Jesus.
So, like, for me, if I'm thinking about playing Hey, That's My Fish, and I'm not looking to play it with... a group of people, like if it's just going to be Debbie and I playing it or whatever, I would much rather just play it with the $6 app on my phone. Even if I was in a big group, I think in terms of setup and stuff like that, like if I had it on a tablet, for example, if I had it on like a, like, you know, like a iPad size tablet, like a full size iPad tablet, I would much rather just load up the app for the $6 that it costs, load up the app on the tablet, turn it on, slap it down in the table and be like, off you go. Right. Cause it just, it makes setup instantaneous.
That's almost sad.
And you can't, isn't it though? You can't play with the penguins.
No, I get that. And like I said, that's why I say it's probably an Adam problem. It's probably definitely exclusive to me. But for me...
Look how adorable they are.
They are absolutely adorable.
I would like you to know.
I'm such like, let's just get at it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I don't want to go through the setup just to play a game for 10 minutes and then be like, okay, now we got to do like the 3 or 4 minute setup again.
Yeah.
Oh, But I also think that that's an issue of you not, you want to do as many things at once.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And so sitting at a table and actually having to like actually pay attention to what's in front of you.
Sure.
For you, it would be much easier to sit on your computer with your phone or sit in front of the TV with your phone and be able to just pass it to me and not really pay attention when you're not doing something.
Sure.
As opposed to having that, you know, human interaction.
They're like looking, Debbie keeps looking at him like while he's watching baseball and playing on his tablet. Like, and oh no, did this just become a marital podcast? He's
like quite literally scrolling through Kickstarter, watching the Dodgers,
board games.
The Dodgers and San Diego play baseball.
While recording a podcast.
He's a multitasking master. Yeah.
I'll give you that has something to do with tattoos. No, don't turn it away from me. Turn it away from yourself.
Okay. Don't look. Quickly.
Look at me.
We gotta right this boat. Pulling this tugboat around. Let's get into reviews, I guess.
Get into the reviews.
I mean, I'll just
final thoughts.
Go ahead. Like, this thing is so small, I think I'd be a goddamn idiot to throw it out. I mean, it's gonna stay. I'll probably wanna, I mean, I don't pull it out very often just because we're always playing, you know, something for the podcast or something that we get together to play, but it's good to have around. It's very easy, it's light, and I can't wait to play something like this with my kids, you know. It's gonna be good.
That's a gooder. I'm not gonna lie, I don't have children nor am I ever going to have children. But the idea of you playing it with the kids, that excites me. Like, that just makes me happy.
They're going to hurt me, Debbie. I don't think they're going to wreck me at this.
They are. And that's probably part of the reason why I take some joy in it.
I must crush them beneath my boots.
That's it.
This is the way that they can learn how to be super cutthroat in board games.
Well, they can learn about the real world.
Yeah. Someone's going to come steal all your fish.
Leave you to die. Oh, wait, you're a penguin.
It's a doggy-dog world, people.
It's a penguin-eat-fish world.
That's
it. There you go.
Is it one of those things, though, where you'd almost be able to, if everybody worked together, that everybody would get the most fish? Like, you'd be able to evenly divide them?
I mean, you'd have to work at it, but it's
That would be a very interesting,
because the map layout's random every time, so you'd have to kind of plan it out. That would be a weird strategic co-op game. Version of "Hey, that's my fish."
That would take a lot of thought.
Trying to balance out to get an even number of fish each.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. You could make an extreme puzzle version, co-op style of "Hey, that's my fish," where you set up a random board, get all your penguins out, and you have to try to get equal
the
fish.
You lose points for how far away you are from each other, or something like that. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be cool.
Anyway, Justin.
Hey, buddy.
Your review.
Your
statement, yes.
Which we're not really sure how you score. Like,
my scoring's never changed. It's always been the same.
People thus far have been split on your particular review system. Do you want to change it up yet again?
No, no, no.
It's never changed. It was just confusing from the beginning. That's right.
At CGS Podcast, tell us about Justin's rating system.
It took a small evolution. But I think my rating system is excellent.
I think the best part is I am never willing to make a recommendation What was your statement? You made some sort of statement about...
It was just not, contradictory in itself.
Yeah, like essentially saying that you're never going to say anything bad about anything, but you're just going to always be like, there's somebody in this world that will enjoy
whatever it is. I think I was talking about how I think I review things higher on average.
Yeah.
Especially during the level 7 escape where... No one else
brutal
liked it.
It was brutal.
Have you ever given a thumbs down?
Yeah, yeah. Unicorns.
Yeah, that was unicorns.
Oh,
that was That was abysmally brutal.
And it took one thumb down, not two.
Wasn't it two?
He needed to leave room for something truly
awful. You know, you got to have that scale.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Bad.
In case somebody's ranking all of these.
I may have
someone's got a spreadsheet
steered you off or storn you or steered you.
It doesn't
or,
take much.
You know, whatever that was.
Stole
word
the
is.
Tiller? I don't know.
Hey, that's my tiller.
Pushed you in the wrong direction.
Oh my. Well, let's get back on track. I think it's a great little short game. It's got a decent amount of strategy. It's not something you're ever gonna want to master or play every single day. I don't know if there's a board game that I would want to play every day. So it's just a nice, quick travel game. The figures are delightful. They're nice, bright primary colors. You know, if you have young children, choking hazard, like most board games, I think. I don't know if I can think of a board game that isn't somewhat of a choking hazard. Yeah, it's just good quality components. The rules are well described and nice picture graphics showing you examples.
Concise.
Very concise, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a solid thumbs up. I would recommend it to...
A single? Double?
1.5 thumbs?
So that's the one thumb straight up in the air, and then the other thumb is sort of like...
It'd
be like that. Be at a 90. What is that?
You know they can't see you, right?
No, that's a thumb and a half. Because that'd be a thumb down.
Hold on.
The thumb is in existence. I don't know.
So the thumb being in existence is different from the thumb not being there? You're not making this any less confusing.
Yeah. I don't.
All right, okay.
I don't know.
I think he said his piece.
You know what? Solid thumbs up. It's an excellent little board game. I would recommend it to anyone. It plays well from 2 to 4 players, which can't be said for a lot of multiplayer games. Sometimes they tend to lag with a lot of people. This one actually gets faster. It's a good cutthroat game where you're going to curse at your friends or your family, but you're going to do it jokingly, and it's quick enough that you're not going to hate them for investing 3 hours in a board game and then you just got
bamboozled.
I would love to know what it takes to get a 2 thumbs up from you.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, you've like
Access and Allies.
Ooh, wow, that you
Memoir 44.
Oh man, those ones are good. Yeah. Different that reasons.
Conan.
I'm just saying, okay,
that,
sorry.
That weird game there, that game you're showing me that comes from
Kriegspiel?
Prussia.
Oh, Kriegspiel. That one just
X-Wing's
quite good, yeah. Quite good.
I don't like playing with you with X-Wing.
Is that because you lost?
No, I am terrible at it, but that's...
Oh, okay.
Doesn't help when he makes quote-unquote joke builds that crush me.
That wasn't a joke build.
Anyway, let's move on.
We're
speaking of me being salty, one of you two. Salt cannon, salt sea, which one?
The cannon can go.
Okay, my thoughts on this game are that, yeah, again, it's good. It's a filler game. It travels well. If I picked it up, I do own it. Yeah, I own a copy of this game. I will travel with it from time to time if I'm playing with a group of, like, a full complement of 4 people. But for the most part, in all honesty, in my opinion, I'm going to say it again, in my opinion, the app just does it. Does it the same or better if you're looking to play with just you and a spouse, you and a child, something like that. Throw it on a tablet. It just kills the setup time, gives you a few more options, and is cheaper. I mean, I know that that's really just shooting myself in the foot, as I am a big proponent on actual physical board gaming. But like I said, this game, the app just really hits the nail on the head. It does a really damn good job. I give this game in physical form a 7. In app form, I didn't really rate it, but I'd probably go a little bit up from there. Like I said, great game. Setup's a pain. And especially, you know, like when the setup takes you half as long as it does to play. It's a small quip, but it's still, that's what I got for you. There it is. Done. 7. Out.
Fantastic.
I don't actually think we own the game.
We do.
Because I can't find it.
It's so small, you could lose it.
There you go.
The bonus.
Quip number 2.
Giant boxes, hard to lose.
That's it.
It's, when they weigh certain, you know, 20 plus pounds, they're pretty hard to...
Yeah, it's kicking misplaced around somewhere.
I give this a 5 out of 5. Buy it, play it, love it. I think that this is for the cost of it, for the accessibility of it, for the size of it, for every reason under the sun. I think that this is a perfect game for every single person's collection. Like, I truly think that it has a place in every collection, because it can be played with children, it can be played with adults, it can be played in 5 minutes, you can play it 20 times if you want to fill 2 hours worth of time. Like, it literally, you drink a little bit,
math checks out.
And I'm sure it gets a little more amusing.
Can I go check the judge on that math? Math checks out?
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually... Yeah, that's obviously not accurate. 20 times is a little much. But it brings people to
Speed
the table.
Penguins.
Right? Like, that's what it does, is it brings people to the table. And it's not boring. The art is great. The little meeples are great. I think that it is a very perfect, lighthearted... Doesn't matter what kind of person you are, what kind of games you like to play. It is straightforward. And it's... You know, like, you don't have to have those arguments where we were having earlier about things like, you know, Dixit and do you like being abstract and all this kind of junk. Like, it is literally just like that bare human instinct game, right?
Yeah.
Like,
get
it's
all the
just
fish.
Fun.
Get all
the you want all the fish. What's the goal? You want to get all the fish. How many? Fish. How many fish? All the fish.
All of them.
You just like, want, yeah.
Yeah.
Trap your friends. Leave them to the wolves. Take all the fish.
Whales. Leave them to the whales.
And you can probably, you could literally walk away from this game. Like, if you have children, if you have things going on, you could literally walk away from the game and come back and continue on, and it really would not be a big deal. Like, there is nothing.
You don't need to consult the game state or what happened 10 turns ago.
Yeah, like, it does not matter. And that is the epitome of the reason why this, for me, is a 5 out of 5, is there is no downside in my world to having this in a collection. None.
Zero downside.
Well said. Well said.
Fantastic.
Well said all around. What do we do next? We do...
Plugs, man. Plugs.
Plugs. If you want to get a hold of us as a collective group, you can hit us up at collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com. That's the email, of course, which is the... least social media way of getting a hold of us. If you want to use a more social media way of getting a hold of us, we have a collective Twitter at CGS podcast. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, it is.
Looking at the judge. Okay.
Correct.
And I think I'm actually going to probably get the old Insta going.
Oof.
Get the old Insta. Oh shit.
Doing it for the gram.
Doing it for the grams.
I think I might start taking pictures of, like,
I'm going to draw the line.
It's the components and good, like, things like that, yeah, so that people can actually see what we're talking about.
That's a really good idea. That's an excellent, excellent idea.
If you need to get a hold of me specifically, you can hit me up on Twitter at Team Rage Tom, or just use the email. Justin, I think you're still just a Luddite.
Yeah, I'm the resident Luddite. So if you want to get a hold of me, just use the Twitter handle or Gmail, and I'll take a look at them.
Just tie your letter to a dove and send it out into the world to
carrier
go find
pigeon.
Justin.
Carrier pigeon. Yeah.
Carry pigeon,
I
dogs.
Think we have one of those on
if
our
you
deck
can
right
find
now.
A sparrow, it will find me. What do you think, Adam?
If you are trying to get a hold of me, you find me on the old Twitch universe there, twitch.tv/forthewin, FORTHEWHYN. I stream all kinds of stuff probably more often than Debbie would like me to. If you are trying to get a hold of me on the social media, Twitter, Instagram, it is at For The Win. Website, forthewin.com.
Right on.
And myself, I am, well, I'm Mrs. Wynn. I am not my own person. I am attached to this wonderful man beside me here.
You are your own person. Don't say
it's gregarious though he may be.
I am attached. You can get me at MRSWHYN. That's Mrs. Wynn. And I am also the one that you are going to be probably sending your stuff to when you put in all those beautiful comments and those ratings and the tweets and the emails. I'm going to get those and I'm going to bring those here to the table. And I'm going to try to filter out the ones that might hurt old sensitive Tom here. But
I am
make
a big
sure,
baby.
Yes. Make sure you send us your ideas, your questions, your thoughts. But give us that 5-star rating. Super important.
That's right. Anywhere you seem to you get this, anywhere you found this thing, I don't know where I'll be at by then, but Apple Podcasts, Google Play, rate, review 5 stars would help us out a lot. Even if you have maybe something constructive to say, the 5-star rating will help get us a little bit more exposure. Share it with your friends, share it with anybody that you think might like it. Also, if you need a website for finding this, if you like an RSS or something less mainstream than using Apple Podcasts, you can also go to the website for the actual podcast itself, thecollapsinggameshelf.com. Did I do it?
You did it.
You did it.
You did.
Just yes. Say yes.
Another podcast in the books. Yay! Woo-hoo.
We did it. But
next week.
Hey, Tom, what are we playing next time?
Well, let me check the totally not fictional randomizer.
The Phantom Society.
By Yellow, which is not spelled how would you expect.
It's
published by IELLO, which is pronounced Yellow.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
It's a game about ghosts.
Sweet.
Ooh, love ghosts.
It's not in The Shrink, but I don't remember playing it, so we'll have to figure that.
you unboxed it to break out the components.
I think yes. I probably unboxed it to read the rule book before going to bed. That's right.
Right on.
Anyway, next week we got for you The Phantom Society. So please join us. Join us then, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.